All right, we'll say good evening to everyone. Good looking crowd. Appreciate the good turnout this evening and each one of your smiling faces. And appreciate the Lord. Amen. Appreciate what he does for. Isn't it amazing to be saved? It's not just good, it's amazing when you think about it. And I just appreciate the Lord. Appreciate what he's done for us. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we'll pick up where we left off. I kind of broke in the middle of this last week, but that's just how I felt led to present it. So we're going to finish it out this week. But Genesis chapter 3, turn to the beginning of your Bible. I'd like to think everybody can find Genesis. It's in the middle. It's between the Old and New Testament. All right, I'm going to, as I preach down through this, I'm going to kind of pull a page from Dale Vance here. We're just going to, I'm going to give you my points and preach down through it as I read it rather than read it and go back. So if you can, leave your Bibles open and we'll let the Lord lead us tonight. Amen. Let him speak to our hearts. And I just appreciate the Lord, appreciate what he does for us. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you again for this time together and for this day. Lord, I pray, God, that you give me the words needed. Holy Spirit, may you speak through me. I ask that you take over, that you give words that's needed this evening. God, we need you in everything we do. Lord, without you, we're not anything anyway, but God, without you, we're definitely nothing. So, God, I thank you and I praise you that I can call you my Father, and I know I'm your child. Pray for those, Lord, that would like to be here that can't be. And God, for so many that, some that could be here just chose not to. We pray for them as well. And God, you put a desire in their hearts. Lord, pray that you be with their prayer requests. God, so many we see on our bulletin. Sometimes we forget those. And God, we don't want to do that. But Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for its instructions and letting us know, God, how we got to where we are. We love and we praise you. In Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. And amen. Now, as I've already said, at this point, Adam and Eve had already ate the fruit. No, we don't know what kind of fruit it was. There's people that guess this and says this and says that. To my knowledge, the Bible doesn't say, so we just know it was a fruit. One that they definitely should have left alone. And I've always thought it was kind of interesting how that the fruit tree, this tree of knowledge of good and evil, was in the middle of the garden. It says in the midst of the garden. So I kind of pictured in the middle. And no matter which way they went, oftentimes they probably had to go by this tree. And it was there for temptation. It was intended to tempt. And what you and I don't realize sometimes is we are going to be tempted. You're not going to avoid temptation. That's out. Just forget that. It's no use to pray and ask God to take a temptation from you. That's a waste of breath. That's a waste of prayer. Not going to happen. One of the reasons why is the Bible tells us that we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. So you're asking God to take something that's inside of you out that's yours. What tempts you may not tempt me and vice versa. But here they ate, and because of this sin, mankind was cast into a different life. Mankind, at this point forward, was cast upon man. And if you ever wonder why, it's terrible to work outside the heat or the cold. Well, read this story and you'll find out why we have that. Ladies, if you wonder why that giving birth is near death, well, read this story and you'll here in a minute we'll find out why. But here we see in verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And I heard the voice of the Lord God walking, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now, one of the things that will always follow sin is fear. You can rest assured if you've sinned somehow, if you've caved to the temptation, if you've been tempted and you give in, there's always, almost without exception, there's a fear that follows. There's a fear of what people will think about you. There's a fear of what God is thinking about you. There's a fear of what the future holds. What's going to be the full consequences? What's going to happen? What's going to take place? And all these things go through our mind. So there's a sin fear with this. You notice that in the garden in the cool of the day, I kind of picture this as perfect temperature. I don't know what it was when I was working out in Chicago back in 2012. People I run into, There's people from all over the country. There was, I think, at the time, like 10,000 people on day shift alone. Largest construction job going on in the world at the time. Anyway, and people would look at me and say, "You're from West Virginia." You say, "We probably don't get below 40 degrees there, does it?" And I said, "No, it gets a lot colder than that." Then somebody else come along and say, "You probably don't get above 70 degrees there, does it, or 80 degrees. I said, "Where's this place at? It doesn't get too hot, it doesn't get too cold. This ain't, I don't live in a Garden of Eden." But that's, to me, that's kind of what I think about. It was the perfect temperature all the time. Everything was right. And he noticed, he said he hid the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid from God, thought they did. In verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" All my life, I've always heard that God called Adam, "Where art thou?" That's not what my Bible says. He didn't call him by name. Look at your Bible. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" He didn't say Adam. He didn't say Eve. He just said, "Where art thou?" I've often wondered sometimes the different connotation here. Suddenly he no longer called him by his name because there was separation. Sin had brought separation between them and God. No longer were they God's children. Now they've been separated. They've been there's a division there. There's death there. And he said, "Where art thou?" He wanted Adam to come forth and confess to what he did. So number one, we have the confession. We see Adam's confession was weak. Let me go and tell you, don't bother confessing like he did, because I don't think it does much good. But he asked Adam, he said, "Where art thou?" He asked them both, and he said, "I heard," but he was talking to Adam. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So we see part of the confession here. So not only was the sin brought fear, but it brought nakedness, and he said, "I was afraid, and I hid myself." Why would you ever hide from God? The very person that you need to turn to, the place you need to go to get forgiveness, to get things settled, to get your heart settled, to get right where you need to be, is go to God. Don't run from Him. And dear Lord, don't hide from Him. You can anyway, but sometimes we think we do. So we go on with the confession. We see how that the confession has been started. Why? Because God caught him out. He didn't go to God after he ate and go and wait for God to come down walking in the cool of the day and to meet God and say, "Lord, I need to talk to you. I've messed up. I did the one commandment you gave me not to do. I did that very thing, and I'm sorry, and I need to talk to you." No, he hid himself. You see, sin will bring this kind of fear. It'll bring this kind of reproach between you and God where you don't want to talk to him. You're afraid to talk to him. And God said in verse 11, he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Adam, who you been talking to? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" So we got a confession. We got a commandment. And the one commandment God gave, they broke. And don't feel bad. You and I would have too. In verse 12, "And the man said, the woman that thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Why didn't Adam just be a man and look at God and say, "You know what, God? You're right. I mean, she brought it to me instead of me saying no, I ate it anyway." See, the difference in the man and the woman is the woman was deceived. The Bible tells us that. But Adam knew full well what he was doing. He was well aware that the second he took a bite of that he would die instantly spiritually, that his eyes would be open, that he would know sin. And that is why God set the things up the way he did. And we see that this time in life, Adam knew that something was different. You don't know for sure what it was. Man, let me tell you something. Be a leader in your home, at work, in your life. Be a spiritual leader. Don't let your wife carry all the weight. Hey, swallow your pride, men, and get your wife and kids together every now and then and say, "Let's just pray." Yeah. You know what? God tells you to do that. We hit on a little bit this morning. By the way, we're probably going to preach to the men a lot this year because we need men to stand up and be men. Men of God. Not men that can knock box somebody's ears and break your jaw. Men that God's proud of. Men that God can use. Men that God can get glory from. And be a leader, spiritual leader like you're supposed to be, like we're commanded to be. Let me move on. I'll lose every one of you right there, or at least the men anyway. But he told God, he said, well, that woman you gave me, God, it's her fault. No, it's his fault. When you've sinned, you are the one. I don't like to admit it either sometimes. I want to say, man, next thing I know, I was up to my eyeballs in it. The devil tricked me. Sometimes he does. But the bottom line is, we full well consciously know what we are doing. I don't like it either. In verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In other words, he tricked me. Lord, you understand? I mean, he pulled the wool over my eyes. He did, but she knew what she was doing. She was deceived into thinking something other than what it was. She was tricked, but she knew not to eat it. God told her not to. In verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. You know, so we have here, we have the confession, we have the commandment, and we have the curse. He says, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In case you don't know, verse 15 is the first words of prophecy of the coming Messiah that would bruise the head of Satan, and Satan's head would bruise his heel. That is a picture of Jesus stomping on the head of Satan and killing his works, killing his effect of sin, death, hell, and the grave. Jesus says, I've got the keys now. I shall ever live. He's the one in charge. He's the one that rules. He defeated Satan. The prophecy of it started right here. And if you're a child of God, you have that victory to see that he is a defeated foe. And we need to live like it a little bit more sometimes. We need to believe that. He doesn't want you to know that. So we see the curse. I've wondered, there's different ideas of what the snake looked like before this. Some said maybe it had wings. I can tell you this, it somehow was upright. Because he said, on thy belly shalt thou crawl, and dust you're going to foot. So until this, the serpent, the snake, did not, I don't believe it crawled. I don't know if it had feet. It had some way to move other than crawl on the belly. Because it was cursed. I better move on. I want to say something about evolution right there. That's unevolution. And he says on with the curse. He continues on. He says, and to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Men, let me tell you something real quick. This doesn't mean that you're her master. Doesn't mean that she bows to you. Doesn't mean that you got the right to treat her like a peasant or like a servant. That's not what this says. What it's talking about is he shall lead you. Not, you remember the cartoons of the Looney Tunes, how he'd grab her by the hair of the head and drag her and had the club in one hand, the wife's hair in the other, dragging her along. I mean, that's not what he's talking about. I got one amen from one woman. The only brave woman in here. Guess who it was? My wife. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So we see the curse continuing, but here we see the consequence. I've said this all the time. There is always a consequence to our sin. You're never going to sin and not have a consequence somewhere, some way, somehow. It's just not possible. No matter how small it may be, sometimes the consequence may just be where me and God are a little bit at odds with each other. And I'm going to tell you something. That's an awful lot. I don't like that. I don't like being at odds with God.
I want to be so close to Him. I want to be able to talk to Him. I want to be able to fellowship with Him. I want to be in love with Him. I want Him to be in love with me, which He is. And I want all this all the time. I want sweet fellowship. I want no division between us. I want clear avenue between Him and I. I don't want any roadblocks in the way. I want to make sure God and I is on good speaking terms all the time. And I got to do this. I got to do what's right as a man, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a human, as a friend, as an employee. Is all these things to keep that avenue clear. But we have the consequence. If you want to know why work is stubborn and why we have multiple four rows, blame Adam and Eve. And locust trees with thorns that big sometimes. Thou shalt eat of it, not eat of it. Curse is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So no longer God told him, here's the commandment again. He said, I commanded you not to eat this. You did it anyway. What is it that God has commanded you and I sometimes that we do anyway, or He commands us to do and we don't do? It's both. There's commandments He's given us to do and we don't do them. Do you know we're commanded to pray? We're commanded to read our Bibles, to obey Him. You know what? There's one great commandment. You know what it is? It's not a trick question. Does anybody know? The great commandment. That's it. And love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the great commandment. Do we love the Lord God that way? Let me move on. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. There's the multiple rows and the locust trees. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou returnest unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So we see that the childbirth was multiplied in sorrow for the woman, and here the man is ordered to make the living by the sweat of his brow. This is another reason. Please don't get mad at me. I think there's other verses, but here we see God addressing the woman in the home, and He's addressing the man to go make outside the home and make the living. When it's possible, we need one spouse working, and anyway, I better move on. That usually don't go over too good. We see how God set this thing up, but our society has twisted it on its head. Sometimes we got both spouses working just so we can have nicer things. Our modern media, women's live movement, tells the women, you need to be something, you need to be somebody. Do you know there's videos out there on YouTube right now that they go around interviewing random women and they say that they are stronger than men? I've seen them. Where they say, we don't need men. So one time, a man and a woman got in an MMA battle, got in a boxing match, and they was going to see just how bad she is. This was a mean woman that could probably whip a lot of men. She didn't whip him. There was no contest to it. Whether you realize it or not, women, physically speaking, you are the weaker vessel. That's the reason why it's set up the way it is. God designed it that way. You have a role to play in life, and our world, our society, our media, movies, TV shows, all this stuff has twisted it on its head. Do you realize supporting your husband is the best thing you can do in life, and honoring him and honoring God? The man is to make the living by the sweat of his brow. Am I making you mad or am I helping you? Amen. The reason why it's set up this way is because of this story right here. Eve was deceived. I don't know why I'm preaching to the men so hard this evening, but it's okay. Men, your job is to protect her spiritually as well. There's things that Satan will do to deceive her that you see through. And women, when your husband is loving you enough and is honoring you and tries to care for you and tell you not to do this, not to do that, leave it alone, you need to listen to him. If he's any kind of spiritual leader at all. And men, every now and then you need to motivate yourself and give her a break. Amen. Boy, I don't know why I'm on this. I'm sorry.
It's all right to keep the kids. It's all right to help around the house. It's all right to help to do these things. When you come in, when you come in from work and she's been there all day, she needs a break too. I better move on. Y'all going to start throwing rotten apples at me. I'm trying. I don't know. I promise this was not part of this message, nowhere near. I don't know why I'm on this, where it's coming, but it's just God's talking to somebody. Let me check my mirror. Anyway, but he said, here again, let me say this, and I want to make one more little thing, and I'll go on. He said, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. Until verse 19, from what I read in the Bible, this is just speculation, that's all. I wonder if they ate bread. They had everything they needed in the Garden of Eden. They didn't need anything else. This place was perfect. I mean, no apples had any worms. They didn't have to worry about biting to an apple and finding a worm. Maybe that's silly, but think about it for a minute. So, in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So he went from fig leaves that would dry up and wilt away to coats of skins that will stay with you for a while. And then we get down to verse 22. So we have, let me repeat this real quick. We have the confession, we have the curse, we have the consequence. We have the commandment to go in there with it. So verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, a man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, at least he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now let me explain a couple things to you for those of you that may not know. Do you understand that in the Garden of Eden there were two trees that was very important and prominent? One is the tree of knowledge. We saw what happened when they ate that. Spiritually, they died instantly. In our years, they lived a few hundred years. On God's timetable, they died that day. Both, spiritually and physically. The other thing is there was a tree of life. Do you understand that if they would have eaten from the tree of life, we would be trapped in these bodies forever? I don't know about you, but I want out of this body. I've had all of it I can stand in my half a century that I've been on this earth. I'm half a century old. Plus one. I'm not as old as you. Anyway, I pointed right between you. I didn't point at either one of you. But they would have eaten that, would be trapped in these bodies because they would have never died. So in all of this, God had mercy on Adam and Eve. He cursed the ground instead of cursing Adam. You notice he told him, he said, the ground is cursed for thy sake. So when we get mad and frustrated sometimes when it's miserable weather outside, when things aren't going good, you're sore, you're tired, you got blisters on your hands, or whatever the case may be, stop and think, it could be me that was cursed instead of the ground. When weeds grow they're not supposed to, and multiple four rows grows, we try to kill it, it's impossible to get rid of. It's an invasive species in America. The Europeans brought it to make fence rows to keep animals in. I wish they'd have used anything but multiple four rows. Anyway, let me point out a couple more things and I'm done. Verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Do you remember what Satan told Eve? The previous last week's message, he said, God knows that the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, to know good and evil. He partly told the truth. They knew good and evil from that point forward. He didn't leave out the. He lied to them about the part that they'll die. He said, "God knows." He said, "You ain't gonna die." God knows. He knew. God knew that they would know good and evil, but he left out the part that they would die. He twisted that around. They died. So he told a partial truth. I say it all the time. The only time he tells the truth is to set up a lie. Lastly, we have two castaways. So what do you mean? The perfect home that they had, they were driven out of. They became homeless, in a sense. Everything was perfect, just right. Paradise on earth. And they chose sin over that. You and I will never have heaven here on earth. I've been preaching that more and more lately. We'll have heartache and pain. Now, as I preach this morning, as we cast our care on Him, as we put all of our trust and faith in Him, no, the pain won't go away, but my peace, I can still have peace and joy in the valley. In the midst of all my heartache and pain, I can still have love. I can still have joy. I can still have something to shout about because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've got hope beyond tomorrow. I've got hope beyond this world. My hope is not in the government of the United States of America or in the UN Council or nobody else. My hope is in Jesus and Him alone. That's where my hope is at. Adam and Eve had no choice but to look at God and say, "I did." Now they tried to play it off on the reasons they did. Notice their first act after they sinned. Instantly, they started blaming and about halfway lying. Instantaneously. Because of sin. How different things were and will be to the day we leave here. I'm thankful. I've got a hope beyond this world. Father, I thank You again for this time together. And God, I know there's things that You've shown me that I could go on, but Lord, I believe You said all You wanted to say. So I ask You this evening, Father, to please touch hearts as You see fit. Lord, we thank You for this evening's service. We thank You for what You've done in our hearts, Lord. God, I couldn't imagine a life without You. And I'm so thankful that I have You in my heart and in my life. Lord, as we mentioned last week, Adam and Eve didn't need You like we do. But after this, they did. They needed a Savior, just like we do. Thank You that You sent the Savior one day, a few thousand years later, to live and die for us on a cross of Calvary and rise again a third day and sits at the right hand of the Father to ever liveth to intercede for us. Thank You for that, Jesus. We praise You. God, be with those in need this evening. Do what only You can. In Jesus, Your sweet and holy and precious name, we pray. I'm going to ask You a question.